Lawrence Canto. It could be a PhD invocation on to be. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. This is chapter number 8, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti. And we have text number 31. And the text is as follows. Gopya dade twahi krita gasida matavat yate dasashru kalilanjana sambhamaksham vaktram niniyabaya bhavanaya stitasya samam vimoya yatibi apiyat bibeti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, and Srila Prabhupada. So we get great benefit by repeating some of the words of the translation. It's a beautiful verse, which is part of the prayers by Queen Kunti. So you can repeat the translation after me, some words at a time. My dear Krishna,
my dear Krishna,
Yasoda took up a rope.
Yasoda took up a rope
to bind you.
To bind you
when you committed an offense.
Committed an offense.
And your perturbed eyes,
and your perturbed eyes
overflooded
with tears.
Which washed
the mascara
from your eyes.
And you
were afraid.
Though fear personified
is afraid of you.
This sight
is bewildering to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is another explanation of the bewilderment created by the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme in all circumstances, as already explained. Here is a specific example of the Lord's being the Supreme and at the same time a plaything in the presence of His pure devotee. The Lord's pure devotee renders service unto the Lord out of unalloyed love only. And while discharging such a devotional service, the pure devotee forgets the position of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord also accepts the loving service of His devotees more relishably when the service is rendered spontaneously out of pure affection without anything of reverential admiration. Generally, the Lord is worshipped by the devotees in a reverential attitude. But the Lord is meticulously pleased when the devotee, out of pure affection and love, considers the Lord to be less important than himself. The Lord's pastimes in the original abode of Goloka Vrindavan are exchanged in that spirit. The friends of Krishna consider him one of them. They do not consider him to be of reverential importance. The parents of the Lord, who are all pure devotees, consider him a child only. The Lord accepts the chastisements of the parents more cheerfully than the prayers of the Vedic hymns. Similarly, he accepts the reproaches of his fiancés more palatably than the Vedic hymns. When Lord Krishna was present in this material world to manifest his eternal pastimes of the transcendental realm of Goloka Vrindavan as an attraction for the people in general, he displayed a unique picture of subordination before his foster mother, Yasoda. The Lord, in his naturally childish playful activities, used to spoil the stocked butter of Mother Yasoda by breaking the pots and distributing the contents to his friends and playmates, including the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan, who took advantage of the Lord's munificence. Mother Yasoda saw this, and out of her pure love, she wanted to make a show of punishment for her transcendental child. She took a rope and threatened the Lord that she would tie him up, as is generally done in the ordinary household. Seeing the rope in the hands of Mother Yasoda, the Lord bowed down his head and began to weep just like a child, and tears rolled down his cheeks, washing off the black ointment smeared about his beautiful eyes. This picture of the Lord is adored by Kunti Devi because she is conscious of the Lord's supreme position. He is feared often by fear personified, yet he is afraid of his mother, who wanted to punish him just in an ordinary manner. Kunti was conscious of the exalted position of Krishna, whereas Yasoda was not. Therefore, Yasoda's position was more exalted than Kunti's. Mother Yasoda got the Lord as her child, and the Lord made her forget altogether that her child was the Lord himself. If Mother Yasoda had been conscious of the exalted position of the Lord, she would certainly have hesitated to punish the Lord. But she was made to forget the situation because the Lord wanted to make a complete gesture of childishness before the affectionate Yasoda. This exchange of love between the mother and the son was performed in a natural way, and Kunti, remembering the scene, was bewildered, and she could do nothing but praise the transcendental filial love. Indirectly, Mother Yasoda is praised for a unique position of love, for she could control even the all-powerful Lord as her beloved child. O Agyana Timirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Madhavishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitana Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
The consciousness of Srila Prabhupada is most overflowing. In other words, when we read this particular purport to this particular verse, and it's just in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find this particular purport very wonderfully summarizes the entire chapter 9 of the 10th canto. It is not just a summary, but it gives a detail that just by the summary itself, one can enter into the entire pastime. Srila Prabhupada used to quote Srimad Bhagavatam, and he used to say that true eloquence is words spoken concisely. And this purport is true eloquence in that sense. So we could see and understand and also become bewildered just by the purport of Srila Prabhupada. He is naturally a conscious of Krishna in that way. This particular purport, I looked at the translations and the commentaries from the previous acharyas. And the particular verse that is given here in the translation of this particular situation in terms of the teachings of Queen Kunti, the previous acharyas give more elaborate purports in terms of the 9th chapter where Mother Yasoda binds Lord Krishna in the 10th canto. So here, Srila Prabhupada gives us, in one sense, not the commentary of the previous acharyas. He gives his natural consciousness of Krishna. This is his own natural consciousness of Krishna, which is completely in line with the pastime in Nanda Gokula. You know, in Mahavan, within the 12 forests of Vrindavan, in Vrajmandala. This is Srila Prabhupada. The particular word that is important in this particular verse that I just read, let us see. Yesterday we discussed that in this month of Kartik that you can get benefit 1,000 times multiplied for one activity which is not done 1,000 times. And at the same time you can get a reaction if you do something unfavorable or commit an offense to another devotee. You will suffer the reaction also 1,000 times. So here, in this particular verse, there is a word called Twaihi Kritagasi. And Twaihi Kritagasi means, Krishna, you are creating disturbances. Like that. You are creating disturbances by breaking the butter pot. Like that. And Prabhupada, he translates that a little differently from the word for word. In the translation, he said, you are committing an offense. Krishna is committing an offense, like that. So in order to counteract our tendency to offend devotees, we should meditate on Krishna committing offenses. It's a wonderful thing. Then you will feel, Krishna, I'm trying to be good and nice, but you are an offender. Kritagasi, you are disturbing. You are an offender. And it says, Prabhupada said, Krishna committed an offense. He committed aparad. In that sense. But when Krishna commits offenses, it is pleasurable. It is lovable. So we give an example of how you have to, you could say, catch it. And I'm about to explain. You have to catch it. If you don't catch it, you will feel offended. If you catch it, you will know it is an offense within the transcendental realm. Like that. Now, I am the youngest in my family. And you know, when you're the youngest in the family, you're like a pet. So naturally, I was the favorite of my mother. So sometimes my mother plays with me. And then in that playful mood, I remember clearly. In that playful mood, I used to take my fist. I was a little boy. I used to take my fist and I used to hit her. And instead of saying, I don't like you. I used to tell her that. And then she said, oh, you don't like me, I am going. And I said, no, I didn't mean it. You understand the point? So by me telling my mother, I don't like you, is it an offense?
No.
Is it an offense?
No.
Yeah. But if you tell somebody you don't know, I don't like you, they will show you how they don't like you too. You understand the point? So these are the finer points to learn from this pastime. You know this nice word, Kritagasi. In other words, Krishna committed an offense. He disturbed his mother. And we do that sometimes. We disturb our mothers, you know, when we're little boys and girls, you know, we do that. But it is not offensive. It is part of the transcendental exchange. It endears one more to the beloved. It endears one more to the beloved. So therefore, one time, I was sort of, okay, I will say one time, just after I accepted sannyas, this is very recent, 2009 and in 2010. So I was with His Holiness Giriraj Swami. So I said something, And I detected in my consciousness that I was feeling, you may not be fully listening to me. You understand? Then I said the same thing again. And then I said the same thing for the third time. Then he gave me one stiff look and he told me, "You are annoying me." Now, why did he tell me that? Because he can tell me his real feelings. You understand the point? So this is the connection. The connection means that if you are close to somebody, they express exactly how they feel. But if you do not have an intimate, I'm not saying claiming to have an intimate relationship, but I'm saying I can understand the point, you know, that this person is very close to my heart. That is why he's telling me that. But if somebody is not close to somebody else, like that, and when you tell them something and you feel they're not listening to you, like that, they will not tell you, "You are annoying me." They'll just be externally nice. They'll be externally nice. That means it's all right. You understand? I do not want to be discussing this now. They may say in a very nice way. But if somebody tells you, "You are annoying me," they are telling you exactly their consciousness of their heart. You understand the point? So you cannot become disturbed by that. You should not become disturbed by that. Because this is an intimate relationship between two persons. Sometimes you'll get a relationship between two persons like that, and they'll tell you, because of their closeness, they'll tell you, "You know what, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You go. I don't want to talk to you." And then suddenly 5 minutes later, they're talking again. This is all the exchanges of Ras. It's the changes of transcendental pleasure. Mother Yasoda chastising Krishna. And Krishna is pretending, and you know, some fake tears come, so she will stop chastising. Actually, Mother Yasoda used this very strong word on Krishna when he did this. She said, "You are a rascal." Very strong word, right? Like that. But that's how she actually feels. It is not an external thing. It is as it is. It is as it is. So in the material world, we have relationships. But the relationships, you become attracted and repulsed by externals. You become attracted and repulsed by externals. Like that. So one time Srila Prabhupada was walking on Juhu Beach, and with him he had many, many talks or conversations with a Dr. Patel. And Dr. Patel was externally a Mayavadi, but internally he was attracted to Prabhupada. It's explained like that. And even after Prabhupada left, this Dr. Patel, without fail, like lines etched on a stone, every morning he was there, taking darshan of Shishigana Rasa Bihari. And then usually the sannyasis and so forth, they'll first go to the Charanamrit. They should go first, you know, the sannyasis, to take Charanamrit, you know, at the altar of Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman in Juhu. temple. Yeah. But all of them, Dr. Patel will look at it. You know me? Dr. Patel. So they allow him to first go and take Charanamrita. Because Prabhupada gave him so much time on the morning walks in Jewel Beach. And it's filled with so much talks and conversations, you can read it like that. So one time, Dr. Patel and Prabhupada was walking back, coming back to our Jewel temple, like that. And then Dr. Patel was glorifying one so-called sadhu of India, so-called sadhu. And Prabhupada became angry at him. Prabhupada became so angry, literally Prabhupada was like, you know, want to fight with him. And Dr. Patel said, Swamiji, you're not meant to become angry. You're not meant to become angry because you're sadhu. Prabhupada said, you are making me angry. Why should I pretend that I'm not angry? This is my feeling. This is how I'm feeling. You're glorifying a bogus man and I'm smashing you and you're making me angry. That changed the Dr. Patel. He said, yes, I know you're not a pretender. Many so-called sadhus, they will keep an external show. You know, shanti, shanti, because Dr. Patel had this close relationship with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada could become angry with him. And of course, he became purified. If Prabhupada gets angry at somebody, you get love for Krishna. Like that. So these are very, you could say, subtle situations in relation to his pastime. That this relationship of Mother Yasoda with Krishna is full of juice. It's full of?
Juice.
Ras, full of juice. It has every flavor in it. Every flavor that you can even imagine. That you've not experienced, it is there. Every flavor. And every time this pastime does happen, it is ever fresh and new. Never, never ras. In that sense. So how do we apply this in relationships with devotees? There's one basic thing that all devotees share in common. And that is to chant minimum 16 rounds daily. And if you're not doing minimum 16 rounds, then you try slowly to increase, to come gradually over some time to minimum 16 rounds. And the other is to follow the four regulative principles. And if you're not following the four regulative principles, even if you initiate it, you try your best at least for this month to follow. I am not finding fault in you. I'm telling you to improve, to come out of your faults. And even if you're not initiated, try to follow the four principles. And now on the basis of having everyone do the same activity, everyone is on the same page, isn't it? Everyone is on common ground of the practice of Krishna consciousness. So by chanting the holy names in terms of japa, minimum 16 rounds daily, and following the four regulative principles, then your consciousness with another person's consciousness is considered pure. Is considered
pure.
So even if that person gets angry with you, his anger is pure. Normally, when another devotee gets angry with you, oh, you think you're a big man? You can be angry with me? I can also get angry back with you. No, not like that. So when devotees have exchanges that appear offensive, you should be careful. You should know that they are close friends. They are close friends. They can fight with each other, but it's not offensive. It is pure. It is pure. So long as they are chanting minimum 16 rounds and following the four principles. So whatever comes out of the consciousness is based on that purity. It's based on that purity. The very fact that two devotees disagree means we are not Mayavadis. It's a nice thing. Because we are deeply individual. See? We are one in chanting minimum 16 rounds daily and following the four regulative principles. We are one. But we are not one in our individuality. So because of the oneness of the practice of Krishna consciousness, based on that oneness, if there's disagreement, it is not material, it is transcendental. Like that. So therefore we should know what is actually offensive and what is actually transcendental that may appear offensive, that may appear to be so. So therefore, loving exchanges amongst devotees is full of juice, is full of variegatedness in the exchanges amongst them. And this we can learn from the exchanges between Krishna and Mother Yasoda in that way. There is a situation transcendentally called man. You know what is man? You don't know? Anyone? Man means anger. If somebody is angry in the material world, that indicates it's a perverted reflection of original anger in the spiritual world. If it exists in the material world, it must have its originality spiritually. Like that. See? So Prabhupada says in this purport that the chastisement of Mother Yasoda to Krishna, like that. See? And then the mood of the gopis who are being moody. You know what's moody? You know, sometimes you get people who are moody. You know, look, you may tell somebody, you know, you're moody today, so better I keep away from you. So the mood of the gopis who are moody towards Krishna and the chastisement of Mother Yasoda onto Krishna, Krishna releases this more, Prabhupada says, than the prayers by the personified Vedas. It gives him more pleasure. It gives him more pleasure in that sense. So that same sense of pleasure, when it's passed down to devotees, amongst devotees, like that, when it's passed down to devotees, amongst devotees, we should understand what is actually offensive and what is intimacy in transcendental. We should understand that. So the more closer you are in hearts to hearts with other devotees, the more they'll reveal themselves as they are. But if you're not close to the devotees, the relationships will be nice externally, but not deep internally. You understand the point? Like that. But it is based on this fact. Chanting minimum 16 rounds daily and following the four regulative principles. Now I have many friends in Krishna consciousness. And my friends can come up and tell me, Maharaj, I don't like what you said. You understand the point? That's my friend. But if somebody does not have the courage to come and tell me, Maharaj, I don't like what you said, then that person may not be close to me. They'll be respectful. Oh, he's a Maharaj, you know, he's a Swami. So, you know, I can't tell him I don't like, although I feel I don't like what he said, but I can't tell him. Why? Because there's no closeness of intimacy of relationship heart to heart. That's what we need in Krishna consciousness. That's what we need. So therefore, the intimacy of relationships with devotees is spontaneous. Is spontaneous. The intimacy of relationships with devotees has no tact. It has no diplomacy. It has no tact and no diplomacy. It's not that, oh, I feel like this now, but I shouldn't say it now. You understand the point? But if you're close to someone, you will immediately expose yourself as you are from the heart. So this is the relationship between Krishna and his intimate and personal associates in Goloka Vrindavan. In that way. Is that all right? Do you understand it? But these type of relationships are not based materially. It cannot be based materially. Like that. One time, Srila Prabhupada, you know, was in his room, you know, like that. And he told his personal secretary, that time Harikesh Swami, he told him, you get out of this room and I don't want to see your face again. And like, and he was shocked. And then some devotees were outside, you know, like the other servants and so forth. They heard this, Prabhupada screaming, you get out of this room and I don't want to see your face again. So he came out of the room and they said, wow, you are so fortunate. He said, what do you mean I'm so fortunate? Prabhupada just kicked me out. What do you mean? He said, you are so fortunate that Prabhupada can do that to you, but he'll never do that to us. So after some time, Prabhupada didn't see him. You know, like for maybe a few hours or so, like that. So Prabhupada called his servant, because he was the personal secretary, I guess. Prabhupada called his servant, and his servant was shivering. And he went inside. Prabhupada asked, is something wrong? And then, yes. And then he said, no, why are you shivering? So then Prabhupada realized that, you know, he was very firm on Hare Krishna Swami. And he told the servant, go and call that rascal. And the servants are shivering. So he went and he called Hare Krishna Swami. He said, Prabhupada wants to see you. He said, but Prabhupada just told me he doesn't want to see me. Get out. No, he's calling me back. So this is intimacy. This is intimacy. So do we have such friendship in Krishna consciousness? In other words, can you phone up somebody right now? Or can you go to somebody's house and bang on the door? Look, I have to speak to you now. This is how I'm feeling. Please hear me. Nobody else can hear me because I can only talk to you like this. You have such friendship? That is necessary. If you don't have such a friend in Krishna consciousness, what happens? What happens? Prabhupada gave an example. Prabhupada said that if a man is pretending to be asleep, Can you wake him up?
No.
You can never wake him up. Because he's pretending to be asleep. But if a man is genuinely sleeping, can you wake him up? Yes, immediately. You can get him up. So similarly, we should not pretend that everything is going on nicely in my spiritual life. We should not pretend. We should not pretend dhoti, kurta, nice tilak, bean bag, and come on a weekend. And then during the weekday they see you somewhere else. Without dhoti, kurta, tilak, and neck beads are covered. So do not pretend. Be as you are. Speak to a friend. I have this problem. You know, I'm struggling. I want to practice Krishna consciousness, but please, can you help me? This is me. Be as you are. Be as you are, find your place and make progress. Make progress. So don't pretend. Speak from the heart. This is me. Please help me. And speak to someone who will help you. Don't speak to someone who will drag you further down. So you speak to someone who is better situated in the spiritual practice. That type of relationship is absolutely necessary in Krishna consciousness. And devotees, you know, avancha kalpata rubyascha kripa sindhu vihayavacha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah. If you go to a devotee who's practicing nicely Krishna consciousness, and you tell that devotee, look, I'm having this problem. That devotee is an ocean of compassion. Like that. He will say, I'm glad you came to me. So let's discuss how we can help you improve. This is so important. It's so important. Like that. And the greatest suffering condition, the greatest suffering condition is to pretend to be spiritual, but at the same time you cannot be material. Are you catching that?
Yes.
In other words, you know you are not fully spiritual, but at the same time you cannot be material. So you are neither material nor spiritual. You are in between. There is no such place. Nobody lives on the doorway. You know the doorway? You are either inside. I know you are outside, but we are not saying you are outside. Right? You are either inside or you are outside. You cannot be in between. That is called the dasta shakti. It is the greatest suffering condition. You are trying to be spiritual, at the same time you are trying to be material, but you are neither. You are not material, not spiritual. It's hard, it's difficult. And don't go and take shelter of somebody who is completely material. Take shelter of somebody who is completely spiritual. And come internally. Don't go externally. Like, extremely important. So one of the vows of vrat that you can take during Kartik month, expose yourself to someone that you have a close relationship with. Improve, expose yourself. Like that. In other words, if you do that, that is called ras, that is called rasa. Ras means transcendental relationships. Very important. Super important. Most important. Like that. We know that if you chant even japa or in kirtan in the association of devotees, it is powerful, right? But we know if you chant japa without the association of devotees, you can become weak. We need that collective strength to be together. Like that. So similarly, don't struggle with your japa. Don't struggle with your japa. Because struggling japa means this is like poison. You understand? So reveal yourself to a devotee. Look, can you come and chant with me? I'm having difficulties to chant my japa. Can we chant together? Can we chant together? It's a wonderful thing. Can we chant together? Like several of us on Saturday early morning from 2 o'clock, we take advantage of the cutting month, right up to 10, 11 o'clock in the morning this Saturday, we're going to chant 64 rounds without taking breakfast. So get to each other, get to each other's hearts with Krishna in the center, with Krishna consciousness in the center, with Krishna activities in the center, with Krishna Leela in the center. So therefore that will remove the tendency of not to be Krishna conscious to try to be Krishna conscious in the association of devotees. By imbuing ourselves in the consciousness of Krishna being an offender and Krishna being so naughty in that way. I didn't really refer to my notes today. Some of the talk went in that direction. I thought it was important. Just like in the material world, you know, when you do something, you could say, criminal. If you steal something, you're a thief. Right? You're a thief. But the problem is that the thief, when you are a thief in the material world and you get away with it, your false ego rises. You're going to tell somebody, you know, I did this and I didn't get caught. Like that. Where does that come from? Where it comes from? It comes from Krishna has a pet monkey. Now you know usually monkeys, they do not steal when you're not there. They steal when you're there. They don't care. They will take from you. That's stealing. Not in your absence, in your presence. So this Krishna is a monkey, and his name is, anyone knows? He has a pet monkey, small fellow. His name is Dadilo. Rupa Goswami tells us this in Radha Krishna Ganodes Deepika. His name is Dadhi. What's Dadhi? Dadhi means? Milk products, you know? Milk sweets, yogurt, you know, like that. Like Daihi. But his name is Dadhi. You could say the village. We say Daihi for yogurt, right? But it's Dadhi. It is the village language. It is the Brijbas language. Like that. So his name is appropriate for his consciousness. Daddy, lobe. What's lobe means? He's a greedy fellow. Even if he's full, he's still greedy. So Krishna has a pet monkey called Daddy Lobe. And this Daddy Lobe, his only service is to help Krishna to steal. Nice, huh? Is to help Krishna to steal. His activity is not to serve Krishna, you know, Krishna takes up yoga or anything else. His activity is to help Krishna to steal. He's like an accomplice to Krishna in the crime of stealing. And he's got this appropriate name. He's greedy to steal milk products and assist Krishna to steal. Do you know how he assists Krishna to steal? The monkeys, they do not steal when you're not there, isn't it? So daddy-in-law, what he does, like that, he'll go to the elderly gopis while they're making the stuff. And he'll cause like a big disturbance, you know. He'll run around, you know, mess up the place, steal some butter right in front of them, and he'll start running. And when he starts running and the gopis chase after him, because you know they're angry now, they chase after him, that's when nobody is there, then the boy is going. So that's how he assists Krishna to steal butter. So when we hear of this like intimacy of Krishna's, you know, associates helping him to steal butter, we also become purified, our own tendency to be a thief in the material world. We should not steal things that belong to Krishna, that has to be used in Krishna's service. So when you still want to be a thief, but a thief to assist Krishna to steal, Krishna will give you that service in the spiritual world. And that becomes great ecstatic, great ecstasy in that way. So therefore there are many things, there are many things in Krishna consciousness that actually can be applied in the association of devotees, in the intimate association of devotees with heart-to-heart relationships in that way. All right, yesterday I took a little bit more time, so they will stop a little earlier, and then if you have any comments or questions you'd like to ask, there's prasadam for devotees today also?
Yes, sir.
Okay, wonderful.
I just check.
You just gonna check?
Yes.
All right. If you have some questions, we'll take, but otherwise I can tell you another pastime about stealing. You want to know?
Yes, Maharaj, please.
Okay. Now, Srila Prabhupada, I will get to the pastime first, then I'll tell you what Srila Prabhupada said about it. And you know, like that. Krishna was caught. You know, Krishna was caught in the act of stealing milk products by one elderly gopi. But the details of the pastime are fairly long, but I'll cut it short a little bit. He was caught in the act. This is just one of the gopis, after many times of stealing from other gopis, elderly gopis. But this time he got caught in the act for this one particular gopi, although he was caught before. So Krishna was brought to Mother Yasoda, and when Mother Yasoda was being called by the elderly gopi, her friend, Yasoda, come see, I brought the thief eventually, he's right here now, it's your son. So Yasoda came out and Krishna was hiding behind the gopi because he's afraid. He's going to be exposed. He's afraid he's going to be exposed. So then the gopi caught Krishna's hand and tried to bring him in front, but Krishna would not come because he's afraid of Mother Yasoda. So Mother Yasoda said, yes, at last he's got caught. like that. But when she sees the gopis, you know, face herself, she's doing it in great transcendental ecstasy. She feels so good that she caught Krishna. Like that. In other words, she became transcendentally proud. I caught him. The others tried to catch him, but I really caught him and brought him to Mother Yashoda. So Mother Yashoda came and says, Krishna, my Lala, please come. You know, you got caught now, please come, please come. So she goes behind the gopi and she sees that it is not Krishna. It is the gopi's own son. And Mother Yashoda became very relieved because she had this bhayaras. Bhaya means, oh, my son has given bad name to our family. You understand? Given, and she was so fearful that Krishna at last got caught, given so bad name to her family, now at last he's caught. So Krishna saw that. Krishna says, no. My mother and father is the most cultured, although I may be a rascal. So I'm going to show her. So when the gopi looks at the back, and Mother Yashoda started laughing, she says, are you gone pagla? This is your son. This is not my Krishna. The Upagopi, because she became very proud, transcendentally proud, so she thought, I'm going to show. That was the ecstasy, you know, I became so transcendentally proud. It's like a transcendental false ego in a sense. Like that. So Krishna taught her a lesson. You became proud, I'll teach you. Like that. So he transformed himself into her son. He's Yogeshwara, he's a mystic person. So she looks at the son, she says, oh, here's my son. And she takes his hand and walks away, and completely embarrassed, like that. And the son is just smiling at her, and she's embarrassed. And Yashoda is very happy, at least, you know, a good name is there still. They're trying to spoil our name, but good name is there. But Krishna protected that name. So she went away a distance, and just before nearing her home, she feels that the hand she's holding is now becoming a little different. Like that. And she looks at Krishna. Oh, what is this? I thought you my son, but you are actually Krishna. How did you do this? So Krishna said, I warned you that if you take me to my mother and embarrass the good name of the family, I warned you, but you didn't listen. And this gopi went completely red in the face, you know, what is going on here? You know, who is this boy and why is he embarrassing me so much? Like that. And then Krishna walked away a little, and the gopi started looking at him with great affection. Because it's ras. You know, it is transcendental pleasure that Krishna has tricked her. Great pleasure. And Krishna told her casually, this time I became your son. Next time I'll become your husband. And Prabhupada comments on this. He comments actually on this in the 10th canto. He says that aside from Krishna being a thief when he was a child, in his childhood pastimes, Krishna also acted as an expert thief when he was attracting all the young girls. He stole them from their husbands. So he's a thief in all respects. You know, in Madhurya Bhav, in Vatsalya Bhav, he's a thief in all respects. This transcendental thief, Krishna. So somebody may ask the question, but everything belongs to Krishna, how can he steal? No, everything belongs to Narayan. Everything belongs to Vishnu. But nothing belongs to Krishna who is the source of Narayan and Vishnu. And that is bewildering. Krishna is the source of Narayan and Vishnu. Aham Adi Devanam. He is the source of all the demigods also. See? Indra feels, this belongs to me. Indra Loka. Brahma feels, this belongs to me. Surya feels, this belongs to me. I am in charge of this thing. Like that. See? And Narayan feels, yes, everything belongs to me. And Vishnu feels the same way. But transcendentally, nothing belongs to Krishna because he starts beginning to steal. But yet, everything that belongs to Narayan and Vishnu and the demigods, they belong to Krishna. That is Ras. They belong to Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada says, this is Krishna's business. Krishna's business is to steal. And Krishna's business is also to steal other men's wives. Other men's wives in that way. So that means Krishna, although he is a transcendental thief, famously known in his childhood pastimes as a thief as Makkan Chor. And we worship that picture. Stealing, but we worship it like this. So therefore, Prabhupada says, just see, Krishna is all good, even if his activities are not good. Even if his activities are so-called immorally wrong. Immoral. Okay. But it is all good, all transcendental. And then Prabhupada says, Krishna when he steals, or Krishna when he kills, or Krishna when he saves, is all absolute, all good. And he's glorified for that. In that way. So therefore Prabhupada says, Krishna is always pure. In any activity he does, even if the activity materially is considered impure. But Krishna is always pure. And therefore that makes him not God. That makes him Satyam Param Dhimahi. Prabhupada says, Vishnu may be God, Narayan may be God, but Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth. This is the first verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Satyam Param Dhimahi is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Even if he is the greatest liar, that is the Absolute Truth. This is Krishna. Because there is no variegatedness in terms of duality of the material world. It is all on the Absolute platform. Alright, I just told you a short pastime. I believe we should stop now. Is that okay?
Prasad on the way.
Oh. He said, you have to wait for Prasad. It is on its way. Alright, you have anyone else a question? Any question? So now I will tell you about the origin of why the Damodar Leela happened. Okay. So many, many elderly gopis were coming. Hare Krishna. Do you want this today also? We have an intimate relationship. Intimacy can be born in one moment. You understand? It can take place in one moment. But the distant relationships are distant. It will take very long to come intimate. You understand? You getting it? If you do not want to have relationships with somebody else, you can take lifetimes and lifetimes of birth, no problem. It's too long. But intimacy can take place in one moment. Okay. Now, many of the elderly gopis, they were complaining to Mother Yashoda. Many of the elderly gopis were complaining to Mother Yashoda. Prabhupada says, one type of complaint that one of the elderly gopis, who was a friend of Mother Yashoda, she told Mother Yashoda, you know, my dear Yashoda, you are very dear to us. You know, but your son is very cunning. So Yashoda said, oh, you know, you are telling me that you're my friend, and at the same time you're telling my son is like this? What's going on? Like that. Said, no, he comes and he steals butter from my home, like that. And then what he does, he takes some of the butter, Prabhupada used to say, and he smears it on my son's face. And when I catch him, he said, no, no, he called me here, and he said, let's steal our own mother's butter. He's the accomplice. And then she tells Mother Yashoda, you know, I brought my son up, he's very cultured. By him associating with Krishna, he does these activities. This is the problem. Bad association. And then at the same time, my other son was sleeping, he goes and smears butters on his face, and he gets him up, and then he's screaming all over the place, and then Krishna runs away. Prabhupada says this an act of devotion to Rupa Goswami. Like that. So at the same time, Mother Yashoda, she cannot understand that this elderly gopi, a friend, she's just like babbling and babbling and babbling. You know what that means? It's like she goes on talking, and she cannot stop talking about this thing. And then, so Mother Yashoda told her, you know, you're gone pagla. You're gone crazy. And she just looked at the friend with like curved eyebrows. You know how the ladies do sometimes? You know, they when they look at somebody, you know, like with curved eyebrows. You know, like that. So when she looked at this lady like that, this lady thought, no, Mother Yashoda is not interested in what I'm saying, I'm going. So when Mother Yashoda, after the elderly gopi left, you know, she felt, how is it that Krishna is stealing from other people's houses and she is like, can't stop talking about it. She's so like immersed in it. You know what that means? She is so Krishna conscious in Krishna Leela. You understand the point? So Krishna conscious in that elderly gopi. And Mother Yashoda is wondering that. Yeah, Krishna is giving so much pleasure to these gopis by stealing from their house. And they're feeling nice about it, at the same time they're complaining. So she can't fathom them like that. And another time, Krishna, before the elderly gopis go and milk the cows, they tie the calves one side because the calves will drink all the milk. But Krishna goes very quietly and he releases all the calves. And when the gopis come, who has done this? Like that. So then they find that Krishna has done this. They find him walking away. And Krishna walks away in such a way that he gives the impression that he was around. That is Krishna. He's a most powerful personality. When he is in one place and when he leaves, they know he was there because that's Krishna's consciousness left behind. See that? Oh, Krishna was here. And he's running. Oh, Krishna is going. What what it makes the gopis feel. They are completely conscious of Krishna's naughty activities. Powerful thing. That's the goal of life. To become conscious of Krishna's activities. And these gopis are completely conscious of Krishna's naughty activities. Like that. So then they catch Krishna. And Krishna, and they call him, come here, now. Krishna says, I'm not coming, I'm faster than you. And they said, no, we will take it to Mother Yashoda. Oh, you're going to do that? So what he comes? He goes to the little babies and he agitates them. And he makes them cry. This is naughty Krishna. So at the same time, they call him, you are a thief. Krishna says, yes, I am a thief. What can you do about it? You know, he's like very arrogant, you know, in that sense. And when the gopis see Krishna's arrogant face, they see he has different facial expressions. Now, when somebody has different facial expressions, it is very, very attractive. Now, you know, if you look at somebody and if you have the same face, and a long face, what was it? It's boring, right? Isn't it?
It's boring.
Boring. You know? There's no juice. There's no relationship. But you know, if Krishna is laughing, crying, and arrogant, you know, you can't do me anything, you know. This boy is something, you know. Who's this boy? So they get more and more conscious of Krishna. It's a wonderful thing. Like that. See? So therefore, when they eventually see him and they catch him, instead of chastising him, they will simply look upon his face and he will smile. And his smile is very bewildering and bewitching. You know what's bewitching? It means Krishna's smile completely bewilders you. And they enjoy transcendental bliss. So when they come and tell Mother Yashoda like this, she mildly smiles at the naughtiness of Krishna. Then she's wondering, he doesn't do that at all. He's giving so much bliss to them, he doesn't do that at all. Like that, she was wondering like that, see? So in teachings of Queen Kunti, Srila Prabhupada explains about the bucket thief. He said, Krishna's stealing and our stealing are different. Because we are materially contaminated, our stealing is abominable. Whereas on the transcendental, spiritual, sublime platform, absolute platform, the same stealing is so nice that it is enjoyable. And Mother Yashoda was desiring, when will Krishna steal from my house? Because he's giving so much pleasure to the other elderly gopis who's coming to complain to her about the stealing. And that desire of Mother Yashoda is always known by Krishna. Krishna fulfills everyone's desire, whether it's material or spiritual. And therefore Mother Yashoda enjoys Krishna's activities of stealing butter that came into this form of the Damodara Leela, which was preceded before by Krishna stealing from the other gopis' homes. But the stealing that Krishna did from his own home supersedes all other type of stealing that he did from the other homes. And therefore it is celebrated as the best Leela in terms of called Yashoda Damodar or the Damodar Leela. So that desire came up in Mother Yashoda in that sense. And then she enjoyed transcendental ecstasy by trying to tie Krishna. So many details are there in the 10th canto or in the chapter 9 also of the Krishna book. All right.